Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Stop with endorsements. That's a check. And if somebody's able to write you that check, well, then I don't want the check. I'll give you an example. I signed my third contract. I'm sitting in the room. And the owner walks in and he says, listen, we're going to make him the highest paid player in the game. So they give me $50 million, right? They give me 20 up front. And my agent looked at me and I got up and walked out of the room. And he was like, what's wrong? Why are you walking out of the room? I said, because it finally clicked. Player money no longer impresses me. I want to know what he does, because if he can pay me this much, then I need to learn that business.
Show some love, make some noise.
Super Bowl, we out here. The sun is out.
My mic working.
There you go. Make some noise for the legend Ray Lewis, ladies and gentlemen. The best ever in this position, one of the best ever to play the game, but more importantly, a great man, a great humanitarian. So thank you for doing this, brother. Appreciate
Absolutely, brother. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Absolutely life-changing messages, and it's just beautiful to know it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think, you know, obviously people know the football career, they know from the athletic side, obviously Hall of Fame, one of the best ever to do it. But you're doing a lot of stuff on the business side. So I kind of want to start there. Let's go back to 1996 when you're getting drafted. There's a gentleman by the name of Ozzie Newsome who played an integral role, obviously bringing you to the team, but also mentoring you and guiding you off the field. So talk about the role and impact that Ozzie had on your life.
Yeah, it was interesting because when Ozzie first drafted me to Baltimore, I'm sitting in the locker room waiting on this phone call, and then he calls and says, "We're going to draft you to Baltimore." And I said, "Baltimore doesn't have a team. Like, how are you drafting me to Baltimore? You know?" And he's like, "Nah, you know, we're coming from Cleveland." And I'm like, "What? Out of all of the teams I could have been drafted to, I'd go to freaking Baltimore." And from the first day, man, when he told me I was coming in, what he invested into me on the field was one thing, but the investment that he gave me off the field was everything. And it was everything about the front office and understanding how the entire machine actually runs. And at a very young age, I wanted to know that because I just didn't want to be a player on the field. I wanted to be a player off the field as well. And so Ozzie, still to this day, he just called me a week ago. I'm talking about some stuff. So we had that relationship since I was 19 years old, and now I'm 47 years old with that same relationship with Ozzie.
So I want to talk about some financial stuff. We was talking over there, and you were saying how a lot of guys, you know, obviously make a lot of, you know, poor decisions when it comes to finances. But, you know, talking about taxes and what looks like a $40 million contract really isn't a $40 million contract. Can you kind of break that down a little bit?
Yeah, look, it's really simple. I think a lot of us look at athletes' contracts, and the first thing you look at is the number, right? But the one thing you don't look at is how much of that number is gone before you even sign the check, right? That number does not really exist, right? So you say, "Oh my gosh, this guy made $100 million. Absolutely not, right? 40% is coming to Uncle Sam, whoever that is, that you're paying your money to immediately. And so what I started to do probably in year 8 or 9 is really start to understand why I was not counting my own money, right? We hire people to count our money for us. We hire people to give us monthly updates, right? On, "Oh, well, you spent this month." Well, I don't need you to tell me that. If I see my statements myself, if I know where every penny of my money is going, then yeah, I can do that myself. And so, interesting enough, when I got done playing, I partnered with a guy recently by the name of Julio Gonzalez, probably one of the number one tax guys in the world. And for him to take me through the entire tax bracket and how they don't pay taxes. You know, you think about rich. Being rich is great because you can buy a lot of things. Being wealthy, you can pass that to the generation after generation after generation. But you have to know, it's not about making money. It's how do you keep money, right? That's the number one rule of life, right? People can pay, you see it all the time. People pay athletes all the time, pay actors all the time. You never get an opportunity to sit in the rooms where they're talking about ownership or partnership. Why? Because the most important thing is a relationship. And they don't have a relationships with athletes. They have a relationships with a number. A number is 52, a number is 80, a number is 32, a number is whatever your number is, that's what they relate to. Why? Because that's what makes their money, right? But one of the biggest disconnects that all players must understand. I stopped taking endorsements 2010. Why? I bought my name back. Why? Because I don't need endorsements, right? Like, I want ownership, right? I want partnership, right? Because partnership then dictates and shows me what a relationship is, right? Every hand that I've shook in my professional career, that hand remembered why I shook their hand. And it was not because they wrote me a check. It's because I told them I'll be seeing them again on the other side of football, right? That's the exciting part for me. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So when did that light bulb click? Was somebody educating you on that?
Yeah, and you have to search for that education. So one of the greatest educators ever
And regardless of what anybody thinks, if you don't have a relationship with God, it's almost impossible to control your life, right? Like you have to have someone who's in the forefront of your life that you actually go to. So God has been in my life my entire life. My mom's a pastor. My dad was a pastor before he passed last year. So I've always been raised from that core. But that's the foundation of who you are. So when you start to look for information and you start to pray for people, for God to surround you around the right people, I had the wrong people around me when I was in my 20s. But by the time I got in my mid-30s, God was surrounding me around people that can educate me, right? And once I started to grab that education, that's food, right? He says that you will know my people by the fruit that they bear. So I wanted to know the fruit that the people was around me. What fruit are you bearing? Don't tell me you can show me how to make money. I can make money myself. But show me how I can affect people, right? Show me how I can dictate my next part of my legacy. Making tackles is great. Right, playing in the National Football League was one of the most amazing things ever. Why? Because it brought my mother out of the hood, right? And so that's where I think guys have to take a deeper dive if you really want to change your life. Because if you really believe money is going to do it, it won't, right? It'll give you ups and downs. The devil has the same power God has. The only power he doesn't have, he can't save your life. But he can give you everything that this world offers. And most of it is fast. Most of it is shiny, and most of it spins, right? God gives you things that does the opposite.
Yeah. And all Lord's people said amen.
Amen.
So you talked about in your 20s and, you know, being here this week, Super Bowl week, it's been kind of a common theme amongst some of the players is that, yeah, early on in their career, they didn't have the people around them. They didn't have the education. And a lot of it is because they didn't care to know because they were taking recommendations from people.
It's the setup. It's what happens when you're 17 years old. When you're 17 years old, this agent walks up to you. He says, don't mention my name again, but I want to be your agent. And you, because you're broke and you have absolutely nothing, you say, wow, okay, I'll stay in touch with you. And while you're staying in touch with him, he then follows your career and wait till you get into your junior or senior year, my junior year, you know. And then there was times, right? There's an NIL deal now out there, so who cares about what I tell now, right? But,
but statute of limitations has expired.
They have inspired.
It expires.
But when you take what I was doing in 1994, bro, 1994 was what they're letting kids do now. I was saying, why can't you be paid? Right? That's you cannot tell me if somebody wants to help me out because of what I do. Why can't you allow that? So when that started to being allowed in 1994, man, listen, bro, bags being dropped off, bro. Like
duffel bag boys.
Duffel bags. Like, you're not talking to me unless I have a bag dropped off. So then, but it's a system, right? Because a friend, forget the friend says, hey, Ray, I got this person. I got a lawyer. I got an agent. I got, bro. And you're like, before you know it, you done trusted somebody that you have not built a relationship with. And you just give them your whole check. I mean, you write over the entire check. And you've never sat with them or have dinner with them a day in your life. And that's the system of how our kids are taught on how to go into the National Football League, the NBA, all of these different things, and trust people that have not put no sweat equity into who we are. Right? It's criminal. Right to a certain point, and so I wanted to change that, which I did.
So you mentioned NIL. How do you feel about NIL?
I think it's the NIL deal was supposed to be different, right? What does that mean? These major colleges have endowment funds, mm-hmm. right? The University of Miami has an endowment fund almost $40 billion or more. Those kids are supposed to eat from that fund. They're not supposed to eat from outside. Now, once you let people from outside come in, then that's where the division of the locker room starts. Why? Because you pay a quarterback $1 million, but you pay the lineman nothing. But the quarterback can't throw the ball unless the lineman block it. Right? So all of the way it was supposed to be distributed, when I was arguing the issue, I was saying, listen, if my number, 52, makes a certain dollar amount, then I should eat from that.
Why shouldn't I eat from my money, from my name that I make? You cannot make money off my name, right? There's no Fortune 500 company in America that you can use their brand. You cannot use the NFL logo by yourself. You wear a shirt and you advertise that, they're going to want a percentage of that. Well, then my name should represent the same thing. And every athlete should represent that exact same thing, which it doesn't, right? Because the NFLPA, we're up under this brand, right? I made over, Jesus, my jersey from 2005 to 2008. Bro, listen, hundreds of millions of dollars.
I have it.
You have it. And think about a $250 jersey, and I got a $5,000 check.
Something's off with that math.
But it's the same thing with the NIL, dealing colleges. Pay the kids from where they make the money. Don't let outside endorsers come in. Once again, the endorsement model, because that takes the attention off of them. The endorsement model is not the way to go, man. And I'm telling you, it's gonna continue to divide our children, just like the portal. The portal is cool, but the portal takes the leash off what greatness really is. Man, greatness hurts. That's a lot of down days that you got to go through to find out what greatness is. And now kids are in the portal and they can run away from that so quickly. Yep, they disagree with the coach. I'm transferring this year. You know, I got four sons. I got four kings. I got two queens. And I went through that whole battle and I'm sitting there saying, son, earn a job. I was never given a job. I had to take a job. You know, and so a lot of these things that they're creating, I think, is taking the issue off what the real issue is. Like, our kids should be paid, but they should be compensated from where the money sits, and that's in this endowment funds.
That's an absolute fact, man. I never even thought about that, the endowments of the schools. But you said endorsements aren't the way, and so it makes me wonder, at that point, you're getting a salary from the NFL, but you're not doing endorsements. We all, you know, we preach having one income is too close to none. What other type of alternatives did you seek to find a way to make money off the field?
Partnerships.
Okay.
Partnerships, right? Everybody wants to shake your hand and they want to make you the greatest thing ever, right? Oh my gosh, come do this. Come speak here. Come do that. I will, if I own part of that. Because if I own part of that, then I got ownership in that. And if I got ownership in that, then I speak about it a little more boldly.
Right. A little more passion.
Right. I have a little more energy of getting up every morning to come do what you want me to do, no matter how much you own, right? Think about owning 100% of nothing. That's nothing. But if you got your hands in enough things that I got my hands in, man, I got percentage in this. I got, what, 30 plus companies, man, that my hands is in, that I own or partner, which means I have a relationship with them. If I can teach my kids, stop with endorsements, that's a check. And if somebody's able to write you that check, well, then I don't want the check. I'll give you an example. I signed my third contract. I'm sitting in the room and the owner walks in and he says, listen, we're gonna make him the highest paid player in the game. So they give me $50 million, right? They give me 20 up front. And my agent looked at me and I got up and walked out of the room. And he was like, what's wrong? Why are you walking out of the room? I said, because it finally clicked. Player money no longer impresses me. I want to know what he does. Because if he can pay me this much, then I need to learn that business, right? So athletes, think about this. Athletes are never introduced to the owner concept until you make enough money. Because they tell you, I'll put you in the next slot, right? Every athlete is slotted. So whether you think an agent is relevant or not, every athlete, the number is already marked. So when you come to that number, you're like, I want a few more million. I want a few hundred thousand more. Maybe, but you're slotted. So they always make us think about the player. And then I wanted to know what an owner thinks like. So then I started sitting myself around owners. And I started to say, wow, that's a different conversation than I have in a locker room full of players. They don't even think about ownership. They don't even think about owning their IP. at all. The only thing they think about is their next check. When you become a boss, you don't think about your next check. You write the checks. That's the difference.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
So ownership, staying on the ownership theme, the NFL, I think it's like made 65% of black players make up the NFL.
73.
Okay. No black ownership. So there's the Rooney Rule to try to, you know, have more black head coaches, which a lot of people think that that's flawed, but at least they have something in place. What are your thoughts on having the majority of the league be black players, have no black ownership, and how can we get it to the point where there is representation in the owner's box?
We own, we control sports, right? Blacks dominate that from an NFL level. But you're not changing that unless you're sitting in the ownership rooms. So we can argue all we want to about not having black coaches. But until we get a black owner in that office or two, then that ain't changing. No matter what rule you want to talk about. This is what I'm saying. Like, we only look for the check. We only look for the position that's given. In today's time, it's time for us to take that. That's what partnerships and ownership is, right? My goal is simple. My goal has never changed. I'm 47 years old. In the next 5 to 7 years, my goal is to put myself in the right position to possibly become the first black minority owner in the National Football League. Why? Because I want to change the narrative, right? If we don't do that, if we don't do that, then no conversation changes.
Why do you think that hasn't happened?
It's simple.
I'm thinking about this 73% of you, right?
Yeah.
We control the league. We got some of the greatest players that's ever played this game. Multi-millionaires. How come there's never been, or maybe there has been, a conversation to come together as a group to become more than the minority or become the investment group behind the ownership of a team?
If the attraction from Little League to college, to from Little League to high school to college, to the National Football League, the attraction.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right, we're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shari, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the Home Buying Blueprint, Volume 1 and Volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger.
Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
It's to make a check. The attraction is to get out the hood. The attraction has never been, how do you become owner? Nobody teaches that. Unless you're sitting in that room to listen what owners are discussing. So luckily in my career, I was able to start sitting in those rooms.
Definitely.
Yeah, to sit there and listen what they're talking about. And I said, and I started to say it. I said, man, they was like, oh my gosh, this much player signed for this much money. I said, that does not impress me. Do you know the person who's writing the check? That's what I'm chasing. And so until that dynamic starts to really change and we have enough of us who understands our true power is what we can do together. But the individual check is written, and then so this person going, I got to take my money. And it's great. You can take your money, but the generations after that, they're still the same model.
Yeah.
I just think the model can only change if we're sitting in those owners' meetings.
Yes,
I'm saying there's a lot of investment. You asked me about coaching, right? There's a lot of investing that goes into coaching, right? There's a lot of investing that go from coaches to the GMs, right? GMs to the owner. Those are steps, and you have to be invested to do that. But you also have to have the education to understand all of the aspects of the game.
and not just playing the game. Right? When you get in the front office, you're not only just counting people checks, right? You're talking about everything that walks in that building, right? Tomorrow's game, the only thing we see is a game. Man, that's a zillion-dollar business, right? With intricate parts that everybody has to be in control of. And so that's why I'm telling you, like, until you start to sit down and study that world, it's, and that's one vertical. Go to the MLB, go to the NBA, NHL, same model. Bunch of owners got together, put a pool together, let's make this money, let's build this, and that's what they do, right? So we have the ability, but because of the checks being so current, it never crosses our mind to become owner. We're okay with being a player, right? So I started to make a transition halfway through my career.
So when you were fortunate enough to be in those owners' meetings, what's some of the things that you learned from just sitting and listening to the conversations?
Man, nothing matters to them but what each one of them think. Seriously. Like, and that's what I respect about that meeting. It's like, that's why I go back to talking about partnership. Partnerships in life is only based off one thing, relationships. That's it. Bro, who you partner with, that's a relationship. And that's what I respect so much about the relationships that they have in that circle of power that they have. That's why they signed deals together. That's why they broke the TV deals together. You know, it's like, it's a genius concept, right? But how many of us will really come together and break that concept?
You said something that was very insightful. Yeah. You said that they only care about what each other think.
That's it. You don't care about what somebody else's show does. You work your show. You call your guy.
Or you don't care about just what yourself thinks.
What the overall theme is, we have a machine. The machine must run. Right? Players' careers, 3 years?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. And the next one come in. And the next one come in. And the next one come in. It's a revolving door in all the sports. All the sports has ran exactly like this. That's why the next thing, the most important person in an athlete's life, in the owner's perspective, is the next one.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
It's the only way they work.
That's crazy. Nobody's bigger than the program.
It's the only way they work, bro. There's nobody bigger than the machine.
You referenced the fact that I asked you about coaching. Yeah. But the answer I got, I think we should elaborate on it, was the power of impact. And it's something that I had to experience working in education and realize I can affect a school, but I can affect the world doing something different. Mm. Talk about why you haven't chosen to coach because of the power of impact.
Yeah, I mean, the coaching side is attractive, right? Because I've been in it my entire life. I've been playing, I've been coaching, I've been mentoring. I've been doing a lot of those things. But with the impact that I'm trying to make, I just want to hear the Lord when I finally go home say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't think that's just going to come from me being a great football player. I think that's going to come from me making an impact on people and being a light amongst people to show them the way. God says many are called, but few are chosen. So the question I got is, how do you become a part of the few? Right?
That's a real question.
That's a real question, right? And so coaching is great, and I'm 47, so maybe I'll coach at 55. But with what I'm doing with each one of my companies, one of my ventures, man, 52 Ventures, Prosperity Reimagined, is how do we go into these communities and how do we change the look of those communities? All this money that they keep saying, we're giving this much money to black communities. I have not seen one black community change.
It's a fact.
And I mean real change, right? So that for me, I've sat down, studied them 20 plus years. I've been in the hoods. I've been in the prisons. I'm walking around. I'm trying to figure it out. And every time I see a Martin Luther King Street, I'm saying, why is Martin Luther King Street in the most dysfunctional place in the city? That has to change. So that's why I think my focus and what I'm focusing on now is much bigger. So if I want to come back to coaching, I will. I just don't think right now is the time. Yeah.
So we always hear horror stories of athletes getting taken advantage of from financial advisors, from accountants, from lawyers, everybody. What is the process to actually be able to trust somebody, and what should you never do to kind of safeguard yourself from being taken advantage of?
Yeah, I think you should always have three layers, right? You should have your spiritual foundation, your family foundation, and then your business foundation. In all three of those layers, you must have somebody at every level, right? To spiritually guide you. Family is somebody you trust. And then business is somebody who has to answer to your family and your spiritual guidance, right? Because once they have to answer to them, the problem is we do an opposite, right? Our talent opens the door. We go in and we sign a check. But as soon as we sign the check, the first thing we do is sign it over to an agent that we just met 2 weeks ago, who then passes to his financial team. And then they start distributing your money, and you never see your money ever again. So we have to check if that. But it's the model. It's the model, right? And almost every person goes down that same model. If you don't change that model, about one of the things I started doing with my financial advisor, right? I said, every penny that leaves or comes into my account, I should be alerted. Every penny, right? And what does that mean? I should have the same access you have. You should not have to call me in 2 weeks to report on my money. No, I should be reporting to you what I want to do with my money. But that's taking ownership, right? It's back to ownership and it's back to partnership. I have a great partnership with my financial teams, and I have ownership of all of my entire world. And that's why I like to sit. I got spiritual guidance. I got family guidance with my mom and what she does. And then I have business teams that actually oversee each other and making sure that I am not being hustled, which I have. I've been down that road, bro. Millions of dollars. Come on, man.
You want to talk about it?
Bro, talk about it. I'm still looking for the people without it.
easy. Statute of limitations may not have expired.
No, but it's crazy because you trust people, man. And you trust people and you trust them to do what's best for you. And then you realize that person ain't equally yoked. That person has no God in their life. And all the thing you trust is, well, I've been in financial for 15 years, 20 years. Okay, and now that I'm on this side of life, I'm able to say, and? Right? Nah, you got to ask those questions. The easiest thing to do is give somebody a check. The hardest thing to do is ask questions that you don't know, that they don't know how to tell you. It's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, let's talk about the work, right? Because I can hear the passion in you. I can imagine you coming into a community that there's going to be a presence that you feel.
Yeah.
So let's talk about 52 Foundations and the work that y'all are doing, because it's incredible, right? Giving economic assistance to the youth.
Yeah.
Talk about the goal of it, the start of it, and how everything has been functioning inside of it.
Yeah, one of my other companies started in 2015 in Baltimore after the unrest of Freddie Gray, right? And at that time, I started a solo company at the time. And why? Because I started walking the streets, and you know, the streets of Baltimore was burning, and everybody was just frustrated. And you know, Baltimore, it's beautiful, but it has a bad black eye content to it. And so my company started in 2015, and now, man, Jesus, I think we just had our 25th graduation, right? To where now we've took hundreds of gang members off the streets, and we've given them options, right? We've given them an alternative, because they're not going to work for a $4 or $5 job. But if you teach them a solar job, right, which then leads into construction, which then leaves them leaving their block that they're fighting for, and leave the freaking state to go work another job somewhere else, right? And so now you give them, and so the greatest ability to see that is walk up to those graduations and listen to a mother saying, he gave up drug life and you saved my son's life. It's the greatest reward you ever get in business. And so that's why with Power 52 Foundation is, it's remarkable because it gives somebody a fresh breath of that maybe I made a mistake, but I can pick myself up and I can keep going. And that's what we do, right? So whether it's second and third chance offenders, whoever that may come in there, right? We give you second and third chances. We give you fourth chances. We give you fifth chances, right? We have an 85% placement rate. The moment you leave our school, you get hired immediately, right? If we don't start there, right? Another one of my partners, we own these waste managements in Baltimore. Another huge project from an academy standpoint is in Geneva, Ohio, called Spire Institute. Same concept as IMG, but what we're doing inside of that academy is we're teaching children how to actually function in a very dysfunction culture. How do you do that, right? That's why me and Dikembe Mutombo finally partnered. So now we have a relationship with Africa, with NBA Africa coming through Spire, right? So we can take kids who's living in poverty and then put them in an 850,000 square foot building and feed them every day and change their culture and change what they see. A lot of people focus on ROI, return of investment, return of investment, return of investment. But if you think about the communities that I live in, return of investment is not the hot topic. The hot topic should be what we created, which is IOA, Imagination, Opportunity, Access. Right?
Clap it up for that.
Yeah.
Happy ball.
So, yeah.
Let me ask you this. You're in media, and that's something that a lot of athletes It's very hot right now, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, when they retire, they want to become a broadcaster, but very few people are actually able to be successful in that space. So talk about how your transition in media happened and how you were able to, you know, become successful in another leg of your career. And like I said, that's actually probably harder to be successful in TV than it is on the field.
Yeah. People ask me all these questions every day, just every day. Like, how can I do this? How can I get better? How in this? And I was like, and I was talking to my team and I was like, man, you know, the podcast is great and I'm doing this and I got this going, but I got to go a little bit deeper, right? So I was like, you know what? Every Friday, we're going to do 52 Fridays because this ironic year, 2023, there's actually 52 Fridays in this year. And inside of these 52 Fridays, there will be a principle that you have to not listen to, but you have to apply. And that principle carries you to the next week until you get to the next Friday. But by the time you get to 52 Fridays, you will have 52 principles. And the only thing that fails is your application of them. That's it, right? Because the principles will never change. But you have to apply them, right? And so that's what 52 Fridays was kind of birthed from, like really sharing with watching the podcast grow it the way it grew and then realizing like people are hearing it, but how many people are applying it? So 52 Fridays says, now apply. Apply that. And now when you apply it, I need you to send that back to me. Show me your application, right? And so now all of these fans and stuff are sending information back. I'm off work, but I'm in my dungeon at 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning, right? I said I wasn't gonna eat this, so now I'm working out, right? So it's really crazy, man, when you see how much traffic comes in of just people just collaborating. Yeah, awesome question.
So football, we were talking offline, ESPN 30 for 30.
Oh wait,
they said that. Well, we talked about if you guys were the greatest defense ever. So, you know, some people say the Bears.
Who said that?
Oh, that's the Chicago guy. So you saw the Bears era, so I'm going to respect that. Go ahead.
But you gave a very convincing argument why you guys had the best defense. Can you talk about why you think you have the best defense ever?
Ray, I'm going to take think out of it.
You take think out of it.
Why you know you're the best defense.
Yeah. Look. I'm gonna leave it to you like this, right? The game is based off numbers. It'll never change, right? What that defense done in that year will never be repeated ever again, right? We gave up, this is in one game, running backs are running for 200 yards, 300 yards, teams are running for 400 yards, right? That entire year, we gave up 960 yards total. We gave up less than 10 points a game.
9.6.
We had 5 shutouts. We went 5 weeks without scoring an offensive touchdown.
And won
3 out of those 5. Right? And we get into the playoffs And this is the stat that I'm telling you, like, if you want to crown the greatest, we went into the playoffs and we gave up one touchdown the entire playoffs. We went in the Super Bowl and they had 16 possessions.
Run them down.
Punt.
Run them down.
Punt.
Yeah.
Punt. Yeah. Punt. Yep. Punt.
Yeah.
Interception.
Punt. Yep.
Punt.
Yeah.
Punt.
Yeah.
Punt.
Yep.
Interception.
There you go.
Punt.
Yep.
Punt. 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 Interception.
It's a lot.
Game over.
Case closed. Case closed. Man, nah, Ray, it's been a pleasure, man. Before we leave, when you look back on your career, you've done so much. You've been tremendously blessed. What do you want your legacy to be when it's all said and done?
Oh, man, that's the best question I've always gotten, because that is the kind of one of the most easiest questions, and that is, I never cared about how great I became. I only cared about the people that was beside me. My brothers, the brotherhood was my greatest investment. And still to this day, last week in Vegas for the Pro Bowl, this week here, the young men that was lost lions then come up to me now and say, Papa, thank you for investing into me. So you can do a lot of things in sports, and they can argue who's the best. But when you have the ability to change the direction of somebody's life, it's the greatest achievement you'll ever have in life.
That's like a
sport. Make some noise for the legend.
The legend himself.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.